The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to the crowd, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I know summer has arrived because a few of our 8 o'clockers drifted out after about 15 minutes. And we know that next week we have to move into the AC at 8 o'clock as well. So if you notice a lot of disorder when you arrive at 10, it's because the 8 o'clockers were in here, and they're an unruly lot. This was the last week of nursery school. We had the flag out so the children could say the Pledge of Allegiance. Mrs. Porter tries to keep things simple for our preschoolers. She said, "America is the land of the free." At which point, an indignant little girl stepped forward and put her hands on her hips and said, "I'm not free. I'm 4. And it seems to me that we are stuck theologically somewhere between 3 and 4 this morning. We begin with Zechariah on a hopeful note. Zechariah says, "You are prisoners of hope." What a tremendous phrase. You are prisoners of hope. I read that, I was all excited. Then we come to St. Paul. And St. Paul, this seems just one of those sections in Romans where the poor man is so wrapped up in trying to reorganize his interior life, trying to rise to all the demands and pressures he feels, and maybe blame it on something else called sin, that it's hard to get through the package. And then we come to the gospel, and Jesus offers us something wonderful, but as usual, something wonderful with a paradox. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Today we find ourselves somewhere between theological free and theological 4. I remember the first time I heard that read in church. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I was a child, the lector read the verse, and I heard the word light as a noun rather than an adjective. And I pictured Jesus with his strong shoulders walking around with a big ball of lightning. And, you know, I don't think that's actually such a bad vision of what Jesus is saying. He is offering us the opportunity to become light bearers in our turn, to shoulder with him the light of the world that he bears to us. Paul, on the other hand, is full of struggle. Paul has not found his therapist yet. By the end of Romans, all will be worked out for Paul. When I read this section in Paul, I think of a professional woman who came to me many years ago and has moved on and is doing very well in her life, but she had striven mightily through graduate school, and this light-hearted young girl had returned to the parish with deep and dark bags under her eyes. And she just couldn't quite get it right for herself. And so finally, as we were talking, I said to her, you know, God never sleeps. And she said, neither do I. And I said, precisely. You don't need to be God in this world. I think maybe Paul is trying to be God, as we all do periodically. He's trying to be in control. He wants things to be perfect. And as I read this passage, I remembered when I was 15 and I went to live on a 400-acre farm for a couple of months one summer. And everybody who was involved in that project was from the suburbs. So all my bunkmates were from the suburbs, and we learned all kinds of things that summer. First of all, we learned that some people really work hard. And we learned that we, too, could work hard, and how to take care of chickens, and how to milk cows, and how to tend gardens. And I remember what a lights-on moment it was for me when I was out pulling carrots and realized that carrots were not those bright, straight, shiny, orange things that showed up in plastic bags at Kroger's. The carrots that I pulled out of the ground were ugly and dirty and looked like something that would be used in a voodoo ritual. And then we had to prepare them for dinner because we were in charge of making our own dinners. And there was the broccoli. And I don't know if you know this about broccoli, but you have to soak broccoli flowerets in salt water before you serve them up because they are full of little worms. I didn't know that about broccoli, and I discovered sometimes that we hadn't gotten all the worms out when the broccoli made the plate. Still, I don't know if it was because I had baled hay all day, but that produce and those dinners were some of the best I've ever had in my life. That imperfect food was what gave me the most sustenance I had known. Paul today seems as though he is struggling spiritually with the equivalent of worms in his broccoli. Spiritual worms. He is a perfectionist. Religious people are often scrupulous. We are often perfectionists. It's not limited to people of faith, is it? You can be a secular perfectionist too. You can have to have it all right. You have to have everything correct. There was in the May article of the Atlantic Monthly an article about professional women, talking about how they can be extremely successful in their fields, and yet there seems to be a self-assurance gap, a sense that they don't quite make muster. We see that all over the place in our culture today. You hear not only now that women need to be perfect, but even young men struggle to have perfect teeth and read slim bodies. And high schoolers, anybody who works with high schoolers, Nanny Patterson can tell us that they have to have perfect academic records and athletic records and charitable activities and burnished resumes by the age of 17 in order to make it into the perfect college and become the perfect CFO and have the perfect Californian life. Perfectionism weighs heavily on people of faith and on people whose faith is more borderline. We all suffer from St. Paulism. I know that I do in my life. I often find that I meet one obligation only to find myself giving inner reproach for the obligation that I have not met. And so on the week where I am offering excellent pastoral care, I become aware that my administration is shot. And when I am developing a particularly wonderful sermon or deep class, I realize, well, I've not been very involved socially with people, and I can never quite reach everybody socially. And then, once again, the administration is in the toilet. Does anybody else do that? Have these inner conversations with themselves? I think it is a feature of our time. Paul says, I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. We all suffer from never having quite done it all-ism, don't we? And Jesus speaks a word to us today. Come to me, all you that are weary, that are carrying heavy burdens. I will give you rest, Sabbath rest. Episcopalians aren't very good at keeping the Sabbath, even though thank you for coming today. I will give you rest, that deep rest, that Sabbath rest, which comes from God. Take my yoke upon you. We don't know much about farm animals, but oxen always plow in teams. And so come alongside God. Come alongside God's will and direction and plow with me together and learn from me. For I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls as you align with Sabbath, with God's purposes for the world, as you realize that you are not in fact God and you don't need to be. All you need to be is a creature. As you embrace your creatureliness and you live into the divine purpose for human life in this world, you will find a deep rest as you learn the disciplines of Christ. Perfectionism is of no use to any of us because life is not a project. Life is not a series of goals to be achieved. Life is a wonder. Life is a mystery. Life is about relationships with other people and with the divine. Take the yoke of Christ this day, because light is a noun as well as an adjective. And in this way, you can help to bear Christ's light into an overburdened world. Amen.